Good morning, and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Kate Flannery, and I'm the Executive Director of Community Engagement at Syracuse University. I will be your moderator for today. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge with respect the Onondaga Nation, fire keepers of the Haudenosaunee, the Indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. Thursday Morning Roundtable is a weekly public forum hosted by Syracuse University's Office of Community Engagement, where we feature prominent newsmakers who discuss current events in Central New York and beyond. I have the distinct pleasure to introduce our guest and speaker today, Dr. Casey Crable. Dr. Casey Crable is Onondaga Community College's eighth president, having joined Central New York's second largest undergraduate college in 2013. She received her BA from Skidmore College and an MS in teaching English as a second language and an EdD in curriculum and instruction from the State University of New York at Albany. Her career includes numerous accomplishments, increasing enrollment, obtaining funding to train workers in new careers, adding several academic degrees and certificate programs, and earning national awards. Her impact on Onondaga Community College has been profound, and our community is indeed fortunate to have her with us for the last 9 years. At this point, I will turn it over to Dr. Crable.
Thank you. Good morning. It's really nice to be with all of you, and I'm personally looking forward to the time where we can all be in the same room. But for now, at least Zoom has the way to bring us all together. I thought that the title OCC Today was the most appropriate frame for some remarks this morning, in part because we've all been through some significant change. And here on this hill, Onondaga Community College is looking ahead and trying to make sense of the changes we've been through and have made some significant changes that I want to share with you this morning. And I'll make sure I save plenty of time for questions. Let me start with the question, why does OCC matter to Central New York? I think there are some obvious answers. First of all, we're accessible. We're a community college, so anyone with a high school diploma is automatically eligible for admission. So we open the door to higher education. We're affordable. So again, that allows us to serve a broad segment of the community. Those are kind of easy answers about why we matter. A couple other things I would suggest is that as a region, we continue to remain undereducated in the adult population for the current demands of the workforce. So there's an ongoing need for adults to have access to higher education in order to meet what's currently needed in the workforce, let alone what needs are to come. Higher education lost a lot of students during the pandemic. This should be a concern to all of us and makes the necessity of accessible and affordable education even stronger. But perhaps the reason I think OCC matters most to Central New York is that 85% of our graduates will live within a 25-mile radius of our campus for their whole working life. So when we think about the future of Central New York, civic leadership, business leadership, engaged employees, I think about the folks who go to school at OCC. So we could put up the first slide. One thing that hasn't changed at OCC is our mission. And I put it up here as a place to start because I think sometimes it's not, we're sort of like the proverbial elephant and in the room full of people who can't see. You only know the piece of us that's close to you. But I want to remind us that we have a broad mission and we define that as serving as Central New York's partner in education for success. And we think about these elements of our mission as ways that we focus together to try to make sure that students who come to us for a higher education experience are able to complete that experience regardless of their educational background. So we focus on access, retention, completion, and transfer. That's a common path for many of our students. I think we're known for academic excellence. Our faculty are largely doctorally prepared. Folks who have devoted themselves to teaching in high quality programs. We focus on student engagement and support. We know that many of our students work at the same time as they're going to school. In fact, about 80% of our students work 30 hours a week while going to school full time. So that doesn't leave a lot of time for much else, and it creates a need for significant support services to make sure they can make the most of their time with us. We focus on career and workforce advancement, working closely with employers. We want to make sure that we're preparing students in those programs for immediate entry into the work world, and with workers who come back to us wanting the next step in employment, we stay connected with those employers to make sure we're on target. As a community, we value our stewardship of resources, both the financial resources that come to us to provide our services, as well as the resources in this beautiful environment on this hill where our campus is located. And we're passionate about community engagement. We do all of these things within a set of core values. And I'll call your attention to just the first one. We are a student-centered institution. We fight hard to be a student-centered institution, collecting data about our students' progress and using that data to make decisions about programming. Almost any meeting here on campus, if you're talking with folks about what they're doing, they will have answered the question, how does this impact students? And we're very, very proud of that. The history of community colleges, though, leaves us with what's really a two-part focus. First, the transfer mission, preparing students with the first 2 years of a bachelor's degree. And we're proud that OCC's graduates who transfer do as well at their receiving institution as the students who start there. They graduate at the same rate as native students and with at least the same GPA. So our transfer mission, long-term, it's well established, and students are well served by it. The second part of our mission is to prepare people either for their first job or for new jobs. And if you think about the world of work over the last 2.5 years, you know that that world has undergone significant changes. Look at us in a meeting on Zoom. 2 years ago, most of us wouldn't have had any idea that this existed, let alone something that we would use on a daily basis. So our workforce programs have to be able to change as rapidly as the world of work, have to stay current. So if you think about a 17 or 18 year old, or even a 25 year old coming into college, you could transfer, you could get a job, you could very narrowly focus in a career area. Most students, that's a lot to take in. And I'm fairly certain that if somebody had asked me at that age to choose the exact right program, I would have struggled. I probably would have gone down one path and then changed my mind and tried another one. So as part of our work at OCC, we've created a structure that's student-facing, and it attempts to help students approach higher education at OCC and provide support from the front door. When students apply to OCC, they're given a one-team contact who works with them to complete all the necessary tasks prior to enrollment, including the assignment and handoff to an advisor. This takes place when a student chooses a school. Schools are designed organizationally to be student-facing and to provide a way for students and their families to choose a general area of study, even if they're not ready to choose a particular program. Then we organize all our support services within the schools. This has the added benefit of providing students with a cohort of peers right from the beginning. So I thought this morning I would take you through our 8 schools so that you can see how we function now. And this has been, we've been in this mode for about 1.5 years. It's one of the things we launched during the pandemic. It was sort of interesting to launch a new organizational structure when no one was actually here, but we're really pleased with the way it's rolled out. Schools form broad groups by related programs. They provide students with an immediate academic home and help us to create a sense of belonging for students who may be questioning whether higher education is a place where they can be successful. And because we're able to target services, advising, career planning, transfer preparation, within a smaller group of programs, we're able to provide more accurate support for students. So we have 8 schools in total with our wide range of degree programs. And I thought the other reason I would go through this morning is frequently people aren't aware of the wide range of programming that takes place here at OCC. So next slide. Our first school is the School of Art, Design, Media, and Music, and you can click and it will show you all the programs in that school. The programs are set up, some are transferred, those are designated AS or AA, and some are workforce related, those are designated AAS. But all of these programs share some common courses in the beginning and allow students to focus in the area that brought them to school in the first place without having to say specifically, particularly which program they want right from the front door. This also enables us to make sure that students are building as they move through and don't have to repeat courses, don't have to take courses that won't be relevant as they get closer to choosing their exact program. So the School of Business has a number of transfer programs in business administration, which leads to things like accounting at the baccalaureate level, and some workforce related programs in hospitality management. And we are in the process of adding supply chain management. If you watch the evening news even once this year, you heard the word supply chain, probably more than once in that broadcast. And we hear our employers talking about a need for students who are trained in logistics and able to assist in supply chain management. So I'll just talk about, there'll be a couple of new programs on some additional slides, and I'll just let you know that the way a program comes to OCC is through a feasibility study. We then employ experts in the field who help us draw up the curriculum. Once it's approved by our faculty, it goes to SUNY for approval. Once SUNY approves it, it goes to State Ed for approval. And at that point, we're able to enroll students and award financial aid. So it's a fairly long process. So the ones that you see on the slide that say new programs in process are beyond faculty approval and somewhere with SUNY and State Ed. Our School of Computing and Applied Technologies is exploding. And this is because we are hearing so many needs from our regional employers, causing us to expand our degree options. The interesting thing about programs in this school, our degree programs in this school, each one has a local advisory council made up of employers in the field. They provide ongoing expertise to our faculty, which allow our curriculum to stay at that current level and make sure that students who come to us spend their time and their resources to earn the degree, that the degree has the value that they're seeking with our local employers. Aside from the degree programs that we offer in schools, each school has workforce programs. These are non-credit programs that frequently come either from employers or from groups of employers, and they may be programs that help people upskill into new levels of employment, or they may be programs for job entry that we do with special populations or agencies in the community. I mentioned that under this school in particular because this school is very active with non-credit programs to help employers take current employees and move them to the next level of skill. The School of Education is the only school that looks like schools when I went to school. That is because the teacher training area has been fairly consistent in its degree requirements over time. We get many students at OCC who want to become teachers. This is great news for Central New York. If you ask educators right now, it's very difficult to hire teachers. So we are excited to be able to be the first 2 years for students who want to go down that path. Students then would transfer typically in education to Oswego or Cortland, where they're able to earn their teaching certificate. These programs, all of our transfer programs, are deeply linked with the SUNY receiving institutions, although some of our students do transfer to private schools. But we build our transfer programs like our education program to make sure that when a student gets to the next level, that they're able to be officially juniors. That's important for progression. It's important for financial aid. And it's important for that forward movement for students to keep them engaged and keep them moving on their baccalaureate. The reason I think this school is popular with students, I think sometimes students think they want to be a teacher, and this gives them the opportunity in the first 2 years to get into the school, to do some observation, to really make sure that it's a career choice for them before they've spent, you know, 4 years in a program and have gotten significantly down the road. So we get quite a few students who are interested in teaching. And as I said, for Central New York, that's great news. This is the second of our schools that is exploding, the School of Health. Our applications went up 400% this year in the School of Health. I think that folks are recognizing how many career opportunities there are in this region that involve healthcare. Like our School of Computing and Applied Technology, our School of Health has a lot of workforce programs as well, things like home health aid, a certified nurse assistant, medical assisting, phlebotomy. These are non-credit programs that lead to entry-level positions in the field of healthcare, and they are in huge demand in this region. You see our programs in progress there, licensed practical nursing, that will complete our stackable credentials. So an individual will be able to start with OCC in home health aid, return to upskill for certified nurse's assistant, return to upskill for licensed practical nursing, and then return to upskill for registered nurse. And our registered nursing program goes right into the bachelor's in nursing at Upstate. It's a seamless process. So our goal is really to build that kind of stackable career ladder within areas of employment so that folks whose need is to get right into the work world, they don't have a lot of time or resources to support a long-term training, we can be that front door, and then they can come back and really upskill and develop a career with us. So it's been exciting to work in the field of health in the last couple of years. Our students have been in practicum on the front lines. I'm so proud of the work that they've done and the esprit de corps in our health programs as people look to really embracing careers in health, even when things are difficult. Our School of Liberal Arts is about half of our transfer programs. I will call out a couple that are different from schools that you might see otherwise. We have an American Sign Language program. This is a program for students who perhaps want to be interpreters, and it links to study at NTID at Rochester. We also have students who go on to Gallaudet. It's a very rigorous program and has been growing over the past several years. Communication studies and creative writing, although they're transfer programs, are also programs that take into account how communication and writing is used in the work world, so that folks may be preparing for broadcasting, maybe preparing for technical writing. And this would provide a good first 2 years for them to transfer into programs like that. We are now working on, in this school, a program on social media and digital communications. It will be too late for me, but I think many people will benefit by having folks who have that specialty. We know that that will resonate with students as well. This is the other half of our transfer programs. One of the things that's special about this school is that it allows students to do a deep dive in a particular science area as a freshman and sophomore. That's something that wouldn't necessarily be available to students if they were to start at a senior institution. So we get a lot of students who come in really knowing that they want a deep dive in physics, and we're able to provide that and provide a specialty for them in the first 2 years. Engineering science links to all of the engineering science courses statewide in the SUNY system. Again, many of our students transfer also to private schools,
Syracuse University, Cornell, Clarkson, RIT for engineering science. It's a way to approach what is typically a five-year baccalaureate program and get some good skills under your feet before you hit the difficult courses in the last 3 years. Laboratory science is a new program for us, linked to Upstate. Students can go straight through and get a bachelor's degree in laboratory science. The field of workers in laboratory science around here has exploded in the last couple of years, as we've seen our colleagues at Upstate really take the lead in things like testing, and we're hoping to prepare a good workforce for them with that program. This is our last school, School of Public Safety and Community Service. Although there are a small number of programs in the school, it represents a lot of students. We have students who come to us in criminal justice who may be interested in careers in law enforcement and the full range of law enforcement. In New York State, law enforcement careers do require a bachelor's degree, which is why this is designed as a transfer degree, but it does allow students to get some hands-on practical experience in their first 2 years. Our direct support professional is a new program for individuals who would like some training and would be looking for careers in working with folks with disabilities. It's a wonderful training opportunity, and we're seeing it resonate with folks who are interested in a career in caregiving, but caregiving with a goal of supporting someone living as independently as he or she is able. Linked then to our human services program, which covers all kinds of human service professions at the entry level, and also provides a transfer opportunity to a bachelor's of social work. Many of our students want to work in local agencies, also in the field of substance abuse, and we find those students in this school, typically in our human services program. So I hope that gives you a sense of the range of programs that we have, many of which were built and launched during the pandemic with our schools. The second thing I wanted to talk about this morning is the pipelines that we have built to our local high schools. When I first came to OCC, one of the statistics about Central New York that struck me as unusual, given our population of higher education institutes, was how many students were not proceeding past high school directly into college. So we set about building some pipelines in different ways to help students make that transition. And there are several different types of programs that we have that I wanted to walk you through this morning. It all falls under the title of early college. Students like the notion that they're doing something ahead of the game. So they're early to college, and it comes in different forms. The first and most complicated is PTEC. PTEC stands for Pathways in Technology Early College High School. This is a statewide program that encourages the development of pathways in specific areas beginning at the end of eighth grade. So we have worked closely with a number of school districts to build these programs over time. And they have, the first PTEC went into place in 2014. Students accept a PTEC at the end of eighth grade. The city school district, which is where our PTECs are located, hosts an event for families at the end of eighth grade, and parents have a chance to look at all of the career and technical options that are available in the district, and they are substantial. And students have, one of the options is PTEC. So if students select a PTEC program, in ninth grade, they have some introduction to the field of work in that area, some career exploration, and some beginning college information. In 10th grade, they have some college success type programming where they learn appropriate study skills, time management, things that will help them be successful, not just in college, but in life. In 11th grade, students come to OCC for some of their courses. And they take college courses as a cohort with their high school colleagues, and then they go back to their high school for the rest of their day. And in 12th grade, those students are primarily here at OCC, taking courses both as their cohort, but also in with other OCC students. The goal of a PTEC program is to make it possible for students to earn their high school diploma and to make substantial progress toward an associate degree before the end of high school, and to be able to then transition directly into the completion of that associate degree right after high school. And the nice thing about PTEC is that these students are able to pursue their college courses at no cost. And you can imagine this makes a huge difference for students. The very first young man who graduated from our PTEC, he was a little ambitious, so he finished it after 4.5 years, 4 years of high school and half a year with us, had a job immediately upon graduation, making over $60,000 in his very first year. And after about a month of work, he came back to visit us at the college in the car that he bought because he wanted to show us what he was able to do with the work that he was doing. And when he talked about it, he talked about not just the fact that he was financially independent and able to buy this car, which he was pleased with, but the degree to which he was helping his family and the fact that his employer had said to him after a year, they would support him going on and getting his bachelor's degree. So real opportunity for students with companies that are right here who are looking for students, and the chance to get with these families in eighth grade and help families understand the pathway for their students to make high school count toward college, make college count toward work, has been really rewarding. In the current year, we have 106 Syracuse City students in our PTEC programs. We were able a couple of years ago to develop a second PTEC cohort with a group of schools in Oswego County through Oswego BOCES, and there are 67 students in that program this year. So it's a small program, but it's a mighty program. And particularly pleased that my board of trustees has taken an action to say that there should be no tuition for any high school student who's willing to tackle college courses early. So they want to take what we've learned in PTEC and expand that across the region. One of the ways we've expanded that is through something called College Credit Now. These are high school courses that are college courses that are offered at the high school during the high school day to make them accessible for students before they graduate. So what you have in front of you is a list of the high schools that are involved with us in College Credit Now and the number of students at each school that are currently taking OCC courses as part of their high school day. And as I said, my board of trustees took a very bold action and so that students are able to take these courses at no cost. That makes sure that these courses are available to everyone in the high school who's qualified to take them. Unlike courses like AP, which has a cost if you need to take the test. So we're excited about that. It allows us to meet lots of students on their way through high school. And you know, some of them are students who may come to OCC in the future. Others are students who aren't going to come to OCC, but they've had a chance to experience college level instruction before they get to college. And we believe that's got to help. Because nothing in New York State is simple, early OCC is a program that distinguishes students who are taking college courses during high school, but they're coming to campus to do it. Unlike College Credit Now, which is delivered in the high school, these are students who, in lieu typically of senior year or some portion of senior year, come to OCC for part of their day. They take courses that will be acknowledged by their high school as meeting graduation requirements, but it allows them to get a jump start on college. So what you have in front of you are the students who the schools that are participating with us in early OCC, as well as the number of students from that school who are enrolled this year. Again, because these students are in high school, we're able to do this without charging them tuition, keeping it available to all families. So OCC Advantage is perhaps our biggest pipeline effort. When we looked at the region, we're very proud to be a strong partner with Say Yes. Say Yes supports students from the city schools. And what we found was there was a need for similar support in some schools that ring the city, whose students have similar challenges in terms of financial support and educational support. So we approached those schools and we said we would like to help them build a college readiness program that would start in the ninth grade and that would help students build the kind of capital that would help them be successful in higher education. So we built programs with each of these department or each of these school districts that students can affiliate with in the ninth grade. And we provide programming each of the years to help them build skills, to do career development, to do study skills, the kinds of things that that will help students be successful. In turn, the high schools support the students' participation. And if students meet three criteria, attendance, because we know that if you go to college and you don't show up, you're probably not going to do very well. We want to build an expectation of attendance in high school. Second area is participation. We offer programs. Students need to participate in a certain number of programs per year. And then some kind of service, some kind of engagement while you're in high school, something beyond the classroom. So it could be music, art, sports, community service, but we want to see students engage. And if students meet the benchmarks in each of those three areas, they can come to OCC following high school without tuition in their first year. And they can earn the second year of tuition through keeping their grades up at OCC. So it's a way to build college knowledge, but also a solid pipeline for each of these districts. And currently we have about 774 students participating in this program across all five schools. There are 43 OCC Advantage graduates who are here now on the scholarships that they've earned through their participation in OCC Advantage. So I've taken you through lots of programs, but I hope you can see a theme through them. Access, affordability, local workforce preparation, solid transfer preparation, and the combination of good programs and a supportive pipeline to move students from high school to college, I think is what we've been working on for the last 9 years. So as I prepare to leave, I'm excited about where OCC is right now. I'm excited to see what the next chapter for the institution is, but I know that the college is focused on how important it is for us to be excellent to make sure that the region is prosperous. Because it's in our DNA, but it's also in our future. So I will stop for questions. I know I talked fast, but I had a lot that I wanted to get through. So I hope we can dig a little deeper with your questions.
Thank you so much. That was so informative. And I think it's so critical, the role that Onondaga Community College plays, to your point, in the fabric of our region and preparing us economically and citizenship. And really just very important. Some of the questions that we have coming up, please take a moment and share about the impact of COVID on your enrollment and the focus area of study.
So COVID has really impacted OCC and higher education in general. In fact, there was an article in yesterday's Oswego Business Magazine talking about the impact of COVID on enrollment at Oswego, OCC, and Lemoyne, where all of us have seen students essentially sitting on the sidelines waiting for this to be over. We heard from students in the beginning, I can't do this distance thing. I need to be in a classroom. I'm gonna wait until this passes. So we have seen a downturn. We're at about 7,500 students this semester. That's small for us. We've also seen COVID impact our students in that they're able to get jobs right now. And so we're hearing from students, they're gonna work while it's good and come back to college later, save up some money. Can't fault them for that. So we just are continuing to stay available. In terms of COVID impact on the programs of study, aside from the explosion in our healthcare area, I'm not sure I would trace any of the changes in patterns to COVID particularly. COVID has had impact on how we offer classes. We're about 90% in person now, but at the height of the pandemic, we were about 60% virtual and 40% small and in person. There are things, it's very difficult to teach automobile engine repair in a virtual format. So we made a distinction with programs where we needed students to be able to be here and get their hands on stuff, and those ran in person.
Thank you. Are there programs that foster entrepreneurship?
So our business program is very interested in entrepreneurship. It is a course that's offered, and I think it takes off particularly in our business club, which is one of the most active clubs on campus. And they have had over the past couple of years, even during the middle of the pandemic, a program where they've invited folks in who have started their own business to talk with students about what was that like? How did you do that? How'd you come up with the idea? Where'd you get the funding? What's it like running your own business? So kind of an exploration of entrepreneurship. And of course, we are home to the Small Business Development Center. So those resources are available on campus.
Wonderful. How have programs like Hillside Work Scholarship and On Point for College affected graduation rates at OCC?
So our Hillside partners and our OnPoint partners are important parts of the OCC family. We work closely with them to make sure, really in two ways. Number one, sometimes it's hard for students who approach college to know all the things you're supposed to do. And so our Hillside and our OnPoint colleagues are really great at staying with the student, making sure that all the financial aid is filed on time and appropriately, all of the documentation is in place. And I think that's a graduation support, because I know that students who start well can focus on their studies and can focus on becoming part of the college community. So we deeply appreciate the work that they do to get students in and settled. Beyond that, our OnPoint colleagues are on campus twice a week. And they're in our Gordon Student Center at a table in the hallway. For 9 years, I have tried to give them an office. For 9 years, they've told me they don't want to be in an office. They want to be out in the hallway at a table where they can be seen. I appreciate that, because they're always engaged with our students. And so the nice part of it is that they're able to identify when a student's having a challenge and raise a flag for us, because we might have a resource that the student doesn't know about. So it's a very close collaboration, and we're really grateful for the support they provide to our students.
Thank you. Along those lines, can you briefly speak about the level of support or programs you have regarding mental health of your students, and how has that been impacted by COVID, the needs for those services or supports?
So we've always had crisis support on campus. And pre-pandemic, we would have a referral for a student to the appropriate agency in town, a short-term counseling available on campus, but really the goal for students who need long-term support to help connect them to a local resource. Fast forward to now, and we have been able, through the federal relief dollars that came to higher education, to really ramp up what's available for students on campus. And through the partnership we have with the Syracuse Community Health Center, we are able to connect our students to a full range of behavioral health support. That's been a lifesaver, literally. We have students in residence, so it's been able to really support even the students who live on campus, as well as students who live in the community, by connecting them immediately, not just to one or two options, but to really a full range of behavioral support.
That's wonderful. So critical. Are there plans to expand the physical plant or footprint at OCC?
So I don't know if expand is the right. Well, there's one piece of expansion that we're thinking about, and that is a lab to support some more of the workforce programs that we anticipate coming online. So when our workforce labs were built, they were built, if you come through our automotive lab, it looks like a shop, right? And it's dedicated to that. You couldn't really do anything else in it. The labs that we've developed more recently are like electromechanical lab is used by a number of different programs. So we're looking at some more flexible lab development as we take on additional programs, particularly in the area of logistics and environmental controls technology, heating, air conditioning, alternative fuels, that kind of thing. So some additional lab space is definitely in the master plan at this time. The other thing that we're looking at is, you know, our if you haven't been to our campus, you need to come. We are open and you are welcome. We were built in the early 80s. So some of our instructional space looks like classrooms that I was in. And it isn't really set to technology. We've put the technology overlay, but the technology is not integrated into the space. So we're looking at some development, particularly in the healthcare area, that will allow us to use more virtual reality, some additional simulated work environments. So renovation for those kinds of things is really the other thing we're thinking about.
Are you able to speak to succession planning after your departure and whatever sure. you're able to share?
Sure. So one of the weird things about this role is that you have a very long goodbye if you are trying to take care of your institution. So when I let my board know over the summer, last summer, that I was hoping to retire and that I would like this to be my last academic year, it allowed them to put in place the kind of comprehensive search process so that there will be a smooth handoff, I predict, between me and the next person who will occupy this office. So the Board of Trustees has launched a search. In the beginning of the search, they solicited input from the campus as well as the community on the qualities and characteristics and skill sets that people would hope that the next leader would bring. That created a profile that was promoted through the world of higher education through a search firm called R.H. Perry that the board is working with. At this point, the applications have been received and there's a search committee chaired by our Board of Trustees that is moving through the review of candidates. And I expect that by the end of April, we'll be fully through that process. We are part of the State University of New York, so the SUNY board will need to approve as well the appointment of the next president. But I think by the end of April, they'll be completed, and then that will leave a transition sometime probably in July when the next person will come on board and I'll pack my stuff.
Please tell us what retirement looks like for you to the extent you're willing to share.
So it doesn't probably include too many 8 o'clock Zooms, but at this point, I'm not, I'm focused on what I'm doing still. I've not made a ton of plans. My mom just turned 90, so I'm hoping to be more available and spend more time with her. My daughter, some people know my daughter is an opera singer, which means she's all over the place. And so I'm hoping to be able to follow her a little bit. I put off the study of wine for a long time, and I'm very interested in things like terroir. So I hope to spend some time in Italy and France, learning more about that. So no firm plans about exactly when I'll be heading over, but hopefully next spring will find me in some place where I'm using my Italian.
That all sounds good.
My Italian is not good, but I think I'll use it.
That all sounds excellent for everybody involved. So if you had a magic wand and had unlimited resources, what would you suggest going forward? What component would you add to your existing layout that will help meet all these goals for our community and our region? What would it be if resources were unlimited?
So we have implemented something called a coaching model on campus. to provide students with somebody to go to. Most of the students that don't complete higher ed, it isn't because they're not smart enough or they can't do the academic work. It's because life gets in the way and they can't figure those things out. So if I had unlimited resources, I would make that coaching model broadly available and enable students to have somebody to go to all of the time. It's hard to staff up. We staff it by schools now. So a school will have one or one and a half coaching positions. And typically they're handling, you know, financial issues, or we have so many students, you know, a bad babysitter or a dead car battery, an unanticipated expense just grinds them to a halt. If we had coaches that could intervene when those things happen and students knew that they had that go-to person, I think it would make a huge difference. That and community college should be free, just my opinion.
Thank you. That's what we were looking for. There are so many comments in here about what a phenomenal job you've done and what big shoes there are to fill for your next successor. So I just want to make sure that that's redundant throughout this. The other piece is the city Syracuse School Board has budgeted for placing career counselors in each high school. Do you have ways of supporting that effort to keep that funding in the budget?
So I don't have any impact on the city school budget per se, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to build, you know, the guidance counselors have a strong network. I'm hopeful that the career counselors will be able to develop the same kind of strong professional network. We've put career people in each of our schools, so there's a logical connection, right, to start that K-12 higher ed pipeline of career information. So I think the best thing we might be able to provide is some kind of organizing principle, right, to pull that group together and to help them be effective. I think once you're effective, you're in the budget, right? If you're doing what needs to be done, you should stay in the budget.
Is there a student government? And if so, what is their role?
There is. They're called Student Association, and they have multiple roles. They are the student voice in all of our governance bodies. So they have representation on the housing board, on the Student Association. Of course, they run the student fee expenditure to make sure students get the programming that they want. They manage all of our clubs, but they also sit on the College Leadership Council, and there are students on the search committee for the next president. So student government is quite active and involved.
Thank you. The pipelines you're referring to and the pathways into OCC are targeted at about eighth and ninth grade. Is that what you have determined? Why is that? Why that space and time?
So one of the things that led us to picking that point is that when you look at the student body that we have coming to OCC, about 60% of them are the first in their families to go to college. And so our goal in trying to connect with students earlier in the pipeline was to build college knowledge in those families, right? Whether the student ultimately picks OCC or not, doesn't really matter. It's that the family has the knowledge and the connection, and the student has some preliminary experience with college so that they can make a better decision for them by the time they get to the end of high school. And it's hard to focus students too much earlier than the eighth or ninth grade. They're not that much thinking about college, but the parents are, right? When a student approaches high school, parents get an immediate sense of how much time there is left before that student has to make a big choice. And so it's a really useful time for connecting with those families.
Excellent. Makes total sense. That's wonderful. Okay. I think the rest are somewhat redundant. So I wanted to thank you so much, Casey. Your work and your tenure at OCC has just been such a gift to our community. Your passion and your focus has really served us all so well. And we are so grateful that you shared some of the work that's been done by you and your team and the direction that things are going. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. We really greatly appreciate it, as do we appreciate the audience's time for being here today. Please join us next Thursday when we'll hear from Bertram Lawson II. He is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Central New York, and he'll be talking a little bit about Black History Month, and that promises to be very engaging. Also, our presentations are recorded and available for viewing at the Office of Community Engagement video channel page. The forums are also recorded through a partnership that we have with WCNY Radio, and the audio versions can be found at WCNY's Thursday Morning Roundtable webpage. I want to thank you all so much. Dr. Crable, thank you again for your wisdom and your service and your dedication. It's been incredibly informative. Thank you for joining us, and please continue. We'll see you in the future. Thank you, everyone.